Quitting Time on your Monday 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. Start things off with Tucker Harlan and the top five at five. Tucker, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Hofstra transfer Darlin Stone-Dubar has committed to Tennessee.
Let's go!
The fifth year averaged 17.8 points per game this season for the Pride, and he shot just under 40% from the three-point line.
Big pickup in the transfer portal for Rick Barnes and company. The first of many?
I think so. You said earlier we got through the weekend without any commitments, and I said publicly because it sounded like this one was in the bag after he was headed to the airport.
Well, that's
had to get the graphic done. Did you see his graphic? He released his little video. Had to get the video done. Had to get the video edit.
So he did have – yeah, I mean, I was a little bit surprised when, again, Rob Lewis had that note that he was leaving and taking more visits, but – you know, you also wonder, you're dotting some I's, crossing some T's on the NIL deal. And that's a little, if you guys don't get this done for me like you said I would, I might show up on Florida's campus this time next week, you know. So
can't have that.
Yeah, let's get it done.
At number two players from Texas have entered the transfer portal in the last hour, and both of them were heavily recruited by Tennessee coming out of high school. We discussed Dylan Mitchell last hour, but guard Tyrese Hunter entered within the last 10 minutes. Hunter averaged 11 points and 4 assists per game this past season, started his career at Iowa State, and played for 2 seasons at Texas.
He was...
like, Hunter's good, right? Like, he's real good.
He single-handedly kept them in it to the bitter end against us. He was the guy that everybody wanted 2 years ago. And I don't know if he ever came here on a visit or not, but again...
we wanted him, didn't we?
Everybody wanted him. He was, I think, freshman of the year in the Big 12 or something like that.
And we getting to play with him?
I mean, again, is any top-flight point guard want to come on the team where you've got the returning All-SEC Defensive Player of the Year playing your position? I mean, I would love to be able to talk him into sitting down and say, hey, look, we did this with Zakai and Kennedy Chandler to great effect 2 years ago. He needs a rest. You'll need a rest. You guys will make each other better. It sounds good when it's us sitting around talking. I don't know that the player and his agent and his parents hear it that way.
Yeah.
I think they want, hey, we don't have any point guards. We need you to come in here and run the show. That's what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At number three, the second college football transfer portal window is open, and the biggest name in the portal currently is Penn State wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith. Lambert Smith had 1,721 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns in his career as a Nittany Lion.
We don't need those stinking wide receivers.
That's what I was sitting here thinking. Which SEC school is he going to transfer to?
We're full.
We have a better chance of recruiting another point guard here than we do another receiver.
Yeah, it's well said.
Probably several of the schools to the south of us, I would imagine, need more receivers.
Nah, go to South Carolina, buy that Beamer hype, produce nothing.
Have Lenora Sellers throwing the ball to you.
Sandstorm.
Is that it?
Lagway looked pretty good for Florida over the weekend.
He did. At number four, quick MLB scoreboard. The Guardians defeated the Red Sox 6-0 earlier today in Fenway. Shut them out there. The Braves play the Astros tonight at 8:10 in Minute Maid Park.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals play the A's at 9:40 out in Oakland. The Yankees play the Blue Jays at 7:07 in Toronto.
Ooh.
You got the Cubs playing the Diamondbacks and Chase Field as well.
We always have trouble with the Blue Jays up there. We did go 2-1 this weekend. How'd your team do this weekend?
1-2 against the D-backs.
Ooh. Russ, you and Houston, how'd your Bravos do?
Won the series against the Marlins.
We've all of our teams have donated wins now to the Marlins. All three of their wins have come from one of our teams.
Ooh. First time the Bravos have been back in Houston since we had a champagne shower 2 years ago. Good memories of playing at Minute Maid.
And finally, at number five, Deion Sanders has publicly declared that he will only allow his son and Travis Hunter to play for one of six different NFL teams in 2025. Those teams are the San Francisco 49ers, Dallas Cowboys, Washington Commanders, Baltimore Ravens, Atlanta Falcons, and Philadelphia Eagles.
How does Travis Hunter feel about this? Deion does know he's his coach, right? Not his father slash agent.
Not his daddy.
I would like to know what Travis Hunter thinks about it, too.
Hey, if I'm Travis Hunter's dad, the other thing, I don't want him playing two ways again this year. Figure out which position you want to play him at, and that's where he's going to stay.
It's just a strange presumption by Deion. You know what Deion needs to do? Figure out how to win some games. What'd they go, 4-8 this year?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, micromanaging your player's professional future. How about you micromanage your team? Because you guys kind of sucked last year with all these great players that you're so concerned about where they're going to play. Why don't you try not to get fired, Deion? I don't know. Call me crazy.
Might be a good idea.
That might be a better use of your time.
I'm all for coaches looking out for the best interest of their players. Parents looking out for the best interest of their children. Why say this out loud? This feels like another...
Look at me.
I'm Deion! Look what I'm doing! Just shut up. Like, if you can help them out and they don't go to a bad organization, great. But this is going to look real bad if it backfires.
Who's the worst organization in professional sports? Major league teams. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever.
In the NFL,
athletics.
They're not very good. In the NFL right now, I'd have to say the Carolina Panthers.
Right, I would love for my son to get drafted by the Panthers. I would love for my son to go play for the Oakland Athletics, to get drafted by that organization. The chance to chase a dream and play professional sports, get paid to do it. We should all be so just put upon. I'll only let my players be drafted by one of six teams. Blowhard, Deion. I'm tired of that guy. Can't wait to see them fall on their face again this year.
Are they supposed to be better?
Well, they should be better up front because they were miserable up front last year. I feel like there's nowhere to go but up there.
Yeah.
They're moving to the Big 12, so that conference is, I guess, weakening a little bit by losing Oklahoma and Texas. But at the same time, you're bringing in a few of the Pac-12 teams you struggled against last year. And, you know, they Colorado just wasn't that stellar last year to begin with.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're really going to get better or not.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Usually you have something.
Hey,
somebody's dog ate my parrot on the.
Ate my parrot?
Actual sports story.
I just wanted to see you get mad about Daddy Ball. That's all.
All right. Well, I hope you are happy, Tucker Harlan. Well done on the top 5 of 5. I'm just looking at Bill Connolly's S&P, trying to find Colorado. How far now?
Talk the stock exchange?
66. They're 66th on the S&P behind such
not good
football juggernauts as Troy, the school, not the guy. Troy McClure. JMU, that's James Madison. Northwestern.
Again, not the guy, the school.
Fresno, Miami of Ohio. Boise, Louisiana, not LSU.
Yeah.
The Raging Cajuns of Lafayette. Duke, Appy State, Rutgers.
Shiano,
Liberty, all above Colorado. But I'm glad, you know, he finds time to advocate for his players.
Micromanage.
Well, he's got to do that daily podcast. So,
I'm surprised, though, Tucker. You left out a significant sports event.
What event would that be?
Well, tonight's the WNBA draft.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark has already arrived. And
did you see the video, Russ?
I saw the video. What?
No, I'm just.
She's dressed up. She's not going to the draft in like gym shorts
with no makeup.
No, I'm not. I know. I'm just saying she looks
an attractive
good.
Young lady.
She is.
What y'all think about the UConn alums?
Oh, they're
trashing her down.
They're bums.
Sue Bird. What's that?
Tarassi.
Yeah, Tarassi.
The Mean Girls Club.
Who's the other one? The more recent.
Brianna
Lobo.
Yeah, Brianna Stewart. Like, they're just so mean. She's not the girl.
That's the whole damn attitude and the reason that Gino can cram it up his keister for leaving Candace off the Olympic team.
Yeah.
The best player in women's basketball.
By the way, and I apologize. I cannot remember her name, but we're going to the Orange and White game Saturday. Big Daddy Vol and his wife are we're going down the stairs, and we get down to the bottom because we're in the front row again. And the ushers, by the way, the ushers at the West Club seats,
a little bit nicer.
Not that the other ushers are mean. I think all the ushers are pretty polite at UT these days, but they're extra nice to you down there. And so they take me down there and they introduce me to the usher because it's like the same people. They know I'm very friendly. And they say, hey, this is Russell Smith. He's on Fox Sports Radio, Fan Run Radio, The Drive.
Yeah.
You know what she says to me?
Meow.
Who did?
The usher.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously?
Oh, I swear to God.
We've got all new production for the Pretty Tiger team time.
It's funny. It's funny because she listens to the show. You don't think it's funny that
you want to hear our Tiger team
recognized?
Production?
No, I don't. It's not going to be as good as the usher at Neyland Stadium looking me dead in the eye and going, meow. I was verklempt.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I'm flabbergasted.
I do know of one baseball usher that's a Cody McClure super fan.
That's scary. You got to really, really look at it. Who you are, how you got there, if you're a Cody McClure super fan.
So as we get set to go back to the busy, busy phone lines, and I understand they're busy. I understand that there's something going on with the phone lines we have not diagnosed. This is week two. In the you want to play your Tiger team thing? Figure out the phone lines. Figure out why we've got a caller on hold. Figure out why when other people call in, the phone just rings and rings and rings and then goes to a busy the lady comes on. It's like, the message you have called is blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. It's funnier when you meow and people recognize it. So this way you get to just meow at us.
I would like to not meow at you guys.
Houston, you want to give us a Tiger team update on that?
Yeah, why
I'm
don't the
phones
I'm not a
phone
work?
Man. Like, the two things that haven't worked were the two things out of my control.
I didn't hang around Bear too much. Diffusion of responsibility, I believe, is what we call that.
I thought it was deflection.
Do I work for the phone company? Am I an IT guy? No.
I think it's got more to do. I'm going to go up. Step up here and say, I think this is a Tiger team issue because it's coming out of the rack over there.
What are you doing?
Being honest?
I don't think we didn't do that rack. That wasn't us.
Yeah, but we're in charge. We're the Tiger. If you say we're the Tiger team, we're the Tiger team. We got to get this figured out.
These are our customers calling in. They want to talk to the great Vol Rumor Mill. They want to pick our minds about all the big issues going on in the world of sports right now, and the phone is just ringing and ringing and ringing. We look like a bunch of incompetent schmucks.
Yeah, more for me. I'm just tired. About half of them have my personal cell number, and I'm tired of getting texts during the show. Why aren't you answering the phone, Bear? Am I calling the right number? We'll get it fixed, boss.
All right. We understand the issues. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do the JFK thing. Right now, he said, we're going to have a man on the moon in 10 years. And everybody's looking at him like, 10? What the hell are you doing? We can barely get a plane in the air in 10 years. The moon? We are going to have the phones fixed in this studio by the end of the week.
End of the week. That's fair. That's a good number.
Gives us 4 days.
Don't make me look bad here. Don't make me be the president, the politician who couldn't deliver on his campaign promise. Brad is in La Follette. Hello, Brad.
I think the Butch Jones billboard got took down faster than y'all fixed the phone lines.
Butch Jones is ass.
Watch it, Brad.
I thought y'all changed the number again. I had to text Barry, man. Y'all changed the number again or what?
I don't believe so.
No, it's a routing issue right now.
A routing issue.
Yeah.
What it is, but I don't know how to change the route.
That is where we're at.
Russ, did you have to use the fine folks at the UT guest services to get Barry in and out of the stadium the other night?
No, we did not.
No?
Nope.
No, like we discussed on the show, I dropped Bear off in front of the parking garage. And then I got stuck in a log jam up there. There was no parking in the parking garage. So I went all the way up and all the way down, and it took a while because there were a lot of people in there. And then I get out, Bear's standing there. He's like, come on, man, hurry up.
Stokely
garage. What's taking you
mess.
So long? And I'm like, I'm sorry, man.
Dude, it felt like it was 10 below.
I could see Bear at the game, kind of like the Queen in the Naked Gun movies, you know, making his appearance.
You just
at least Reggie Jackson didn't take a shot at you.
No, but here's what's crazy. This if you smoke cigarettes, stop, because remember on the way back to the car, it was a brisk walk. Not out of breath at all. Not like when we went
you
to that
did
damn
better.
Foo Fighters
I was
concert.
Surprised. I was
it's like amazing how much better I'm walking now that I don't have.
Well, you made him drop you off the first time.
Well, I made him
because we thought we were going to park. At the
yeah.
There's no point in me walking down through the parking garage. I'll just hop out here. You go on. I'm waiting for you right here.
This is the sports radio example of, hey, I'm going to drop you off front. You run in there, get our names on the list. I'll park and catch up.
Yeah.
Guys, this Kentucky series this weekend's kind of got me worried. What? And I haven't seen a single game of Kentucky this year. What makes them so good? Do they got shut down pitching, or what's the deal? They got good hitting, or what's going on?
They should play small ball.
But, I mean, I think the schedule has a lot to do with it. I mean, they have not played the upper crust of the SEC, but their pitching has been good. They are third in the league in earned run average at 3.65. Opponents are only hitting .210. Against Kentucky, so they're pitching and fielding right now, and they do, like Tucker said, they play small ball, which is, I don't think it's the most effective way to play any level of baseball in the modern era, but it's almost like it, you know, in football when you come up against, you're playing the option or so, it's almost exotic because nobody does it anymore, and so you
it's
have
just
to
hard
prepare.
To play against.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's just so unique. It's probably the most unique offensive style in the league. It just is. No one else plays it the way they play it.
Yeah, but I mean, are you gonna be able to be successful, like postseason successful, against?
Well, they're hitting .291 as a team. They are fourth in the league in runs scored at
.294.
That's a good question. Probably not very high. They are 11th in the league, 47 home runs.
So they don't hit for power at all.
They've hit 47. Mm-hmm. That's half of what we've hit. We've hit 95.
Well, I think they've got the ball jacked up this year.
You think so?
Hell yeah. I think it's juiced out the wazoo. It's more juice than Roger Clemens was back when he's playing for my Yankees.
Guys, can I be critical of the baseball team? Is that allowed?
Very careful.
We'll find out.
Well, like I love Tony V. I love what he's doing. I love the team. But guys, what are we doing at shortstop? I've seen better arms on the softball field. Every single ball that he throws hits the ground.
You know, they sometimes coach them to do that, and that'd be a good thing to. But I've heard Burke, I think, talk. You know, sometimes they tell them to do that. It's easier for the first baseman to pick up. I'm not sure. I'm not explaining it well. But I mean, I think Curley has played pretty well.
No, but there are times it looks intentional.
Yeah,
the delivery of the throw, and then it always bounces short when. even on throws that aren't particularly long, like it's like they're asking him to skip it in there.
Yeah, I think because I had the same thought, Brad. Are you talking about the play the other day? And part of it, he just had to lay out so far. Mm. And by the time he got it up, it was just like Russ is saying, it may be a thing with their coach. Make sure you get it there and don't risk overthrowing. And also, I mean, he's replacing Ahuna. And that guy had a cannon.
I don't. I've heard that explanation before. I'm sorry, but that just doesn't fly with me. I mean, you throw the ball. He crow hopped three times. He was 10 feet from second. It wasn't like he was deep in the hole at short.
Right.
He was 10 feet from second, crow hopped three times, and still threw the damn thing into the dirt. I mean, I'm sure Blake Burke, I'd say it gets old after a while. I don't know. Antigua has a rocket. I mean, I know he's a freshman. His back kind of stinks right now, but I don't know. That might cost us in some tight games. I mean, Burke's not a magician over there. He's doing his best, but that might bite us.
Well, we'll find out. I feel like I'll look for some, fielding stats and errors and stuff like that. But I feel like we're doing pretty good in that regard. And
we don't seem to be sloppy.
Yeah, I mean, Amick had a couple of plays that he mishandled this weekend.
Yeah, the one where he was trying to tag third and then go home, he kind of muffed that ball. But
there were – I think you just live with it, man, yeah. Because I don't want to bring Simo into this, but he's not the most sure-handed second baseman either. We're fifth in the league in fielding percentage, .979, so.
Like to see that go up a little bit.
We are 10th in errors at 26. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good day.
You too, bud. Appreciate it, Brad. 865-288-3131, your number to get on board. We pause for the cause. Back with more Fan Run Radio right after this.
The Drive. Check out.
Getting some feedback on the Twitter machine this afternoon.
Let's hear it.
Bill says Kentucky plays in the biggest ballpark in the league, and that guy's nuts. Curley has a plus arm. The ball actually picks up speed bouncing off the turf. Ahuna did the same thing himself a lot, and Antigua isn't ready to hit SEC pitching. That being said, Curley will be a third baseman in pro ball.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Brad, is I think what that guy's saying.
He's probably going to be a third baseman next year when either Antigua or Abernathy takes over at short.
Or ready to face SEC pitching.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Brian says, for the last year and a half, I've been critical of Tony's pitching decisions, particularly leaving guys in too long, but this weekend he nailed it. Punched all the right buttons, even with the hitters, from going on and playing Amick to even pinch hitting Bradkey. It was interesting. Bradkey Laurie.
Somehow.
Yeah.
The little fella?
It was one of his. Tony had a really good weekend, for sure.
The Ethan Payne sacrifice bunt was very nice.
That's our only bunt of the year.
Yep.
I still can't believe Amick's been off all this time and just walked up there, dug in, and smashed.
So great.
That's pretty cool.
And it wasn't like a single or a little dinger home run over that right field into the bullpen. I mean, he launched that thing.
Tattooed it for sure. We have another little basketball piece of information here for you, too. We talked about Adu apparently being on Arkansas's radar. At Zone UNC says North Carolina has contacted Adu as well.
Yeah, I saw that on 3 reported that a minute ago, too. So
I could see that.
It's his home state.
That's where I thought he'd end up when
it's
he entered
ACC,
the portal.
He looks kind of like a
big... Would we rather see him go there than Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You want to play Adu? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, all these people tell me how soft he was and overrated and he's not a big loss and all –
It's the same people that say a lot of stuff that's just patently false.
John Calipari and North Carolina are the two schools we're hearing most. I mean, this is – the dude was all SEC this year.
Yeah, it's not like he's going down to, like, UNC Wilmington or
– No.
John Calipari and North Carolina. Hubert.
Let's get Spencer in here next. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Couple things today. Sad news for Yankees fans. John Sterling retired today, so I'm a little bummed.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, effective yeah, immediately. Sterling. Are they saying why? What happened?
I was listening to the Michael Kay show a little bit earlier. They were saying that all he was saying is just that he was just tired. Going to the ballpark was just taking it out of him and all that. Kind of saw it coming. His calls weren't as good during the games, but big loss for the radio world. But the big question I'm having, or like my opinion is, back to college baseball, these rankings are kind of crappy. Like, I don't think college baseball rankings really mean anything at this moment.
Well, I'm going with the USA Today sports, their college baseball rankings. Did y'all see those?
Mm-mm.
We're at number 3. Mm. Kentucky's at number 5.
That makes more sense. That makes way more sense. There's a lot of
Yeah, it's got to be hard. I mean, like Dallas Baptist has been – they're at 25th now, but they were borderline top 10, I want to say, a few weeks ago. And there's always a team or two like that. You know, Coastal is ranked. Louisiana Lafayette is ranked. UC Irvine is number 17 in the D1 poll right now. And, yeah, there is a lot of, like, how do you measure it? Now, they still use RPI, don't they? Does the selection committee use RPI to guide?
I'm not fully sure on that specifically. I know that a lot of Kentucky fans right now are trying to just say, oh, it's our SEC record. A lot of fans are saying that it's based on just your SEC record, maybe a Big Ten record or something like that, and not just your overall record itself. Like midweek games don't mean anything.
Huh.
Well, their overall record's still really good. What are they, 30-5?
30-5. We just have one more game that we played and we lost.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. I just wanted that opinion because it's a little weird to see Kentucky over us for the first time in college baseball.
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is we get to battle it out on the field.
I don't know what rankings Kentucky is using, but on their website, ukathletics.com, they have this matchup as number 3 Kentucky hosting number 2 Tennessee.
Huh.
I was told that the gold standard is the D1.
Yeah, baseball that's ranking. Usually what I go off of, but there's like 5 of them that are not necessarily the best one, if you will, because like there's no AP poll, so
to
speak. Where's
D1?
D1 has Kentucky as 3 and Tennessee as 4.
So the RPI, NCAA.com, has Tennessee at number 7. We were 14 a week ago.
Wow.
I don't feel like we're playing our best baseball yet. I think we're rounding into form a little bit.
It's interesting. I think that, you know, last year was dominated by the previous year. We were always talking about 2022 last year, right, and comparing the team. And I think we're kind of getting away from that. That team was so much larger than life and so much personality and everything. And I can't remember who was saying this to me. It might have been Chris in Fresno about how as much fun as that 2022 team was to watch with the bat flips and the trash talk and Mike Honcho and all that stuff, that – you kind of wonder if maybe the approach this year of being a little bit more about the business, a little bit more buttoned down, isn't a better way to go about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're buttoned down that year, you probably don't have Frank and Gilbert suspended and thrown out of that game. And you know, all the drama.
Yeah, but I will say in some of those games, it felt like that is almost like what gave us our superpower, yeah. Right? Like energy begat energy.
It wasn't no superpower, but Beck flying birds when we beat Georgia.
No,
Tech.
But just that attitude and swagger, like it was contagious. Yeah. Even in the fans, I mean, the stadium that year. And that's why Maneri and all that junk, you know.
I think Tony talked about how, you know, that he wasn't really that brash guy before Drew Gilbert got here. Mm. And he saw that how the effect that Gilbert had on the entire program.
Right.
On all the players, the coaches, staff, and everything was a good thing and helped us rise up from and also ran to a championship contender that he had to kind of get out of the way and just let it go. And, you know, we can argue about did you let it go too much, stuff like that. But it you know, you can't fake that kind of swagger that Drew Gilbert has. Uh-oh. And so I think that they're a little bit more comfortable perhaps maybe with, you know, like Amick's got – he's not lacking for confidence, right? And I don't think Blake right. Burke and Christian Moore are either.
Right.
But – they're also not guys that are going to spike the bat down and point at the other dugout and yell F-bombs and all this stuff. Mm-mm. And I don't know that that was Jordan Beck's personality either, but, you know, just everything that – talk about embracing the villain role mm-hmm. like that team did and maybe a little out of the line itself. Mistakes may have been made.
A couple.
It was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it was. Talking that much trash.
And everyone hated us. I mean, hated us. Which made it hurt a little bit more when we lost to Notre Dame and the entire country was there to celebrate it. But when we were winning, that was fun.
Nobody wanted any part of having to face us that year.
I think that's why they were so excited, because we weren't going to make it to Omaha. So they didn't have to.
Tell you what doomed us, we went in that thing ranked number one. Mm. Who went in number one last year?
LSU. Wake Forest.
Oh, was it Wake number one?
It was.
Okay.
Clemson's number one in the RPI. Texas A&M is number one. They just jumped Arkansas in the rankings. Arkansas had been number one for weeks.
That's unbelievable. I mean, they lost Amick to us, and I don't know what else they lost to the draft.
They've been historically good. Mm-hmm. Clemson has through the year. Clemson. When we continue, we'll talk a little bit about the atmosphere inside the stadium. I had a chance to take Bear to his first game Friday. I took my youngest brother, Mike, to his first game there of the Vitello era on Saturday. And it was a happening over there. Is it still the hornet's nest, make it nasty environment that Tony Vitello talked about? Maybe, maybe not. We'll discuss when we continue. Also, you want to jump in, last chance, 865-288-3131. Your number to get on board. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Wrap it up. On a Monday afternoon edition of the show, getting you ready for overtime. Headed your way from 6 until 8. As soon as we are done, Braves baseball coming up after OT tonight. Bravos in Houston to begin a 3-game series with the struggling Astros. Looking forward to that. Well, a lot of baseball talk this time of year. It is that time of year. We are halfway through the SEC portion of the season and just finished up the big 3-game homestand with LSU, the defending national champions. We had series attendance records set, single game attendance records set. Of course, the new additions, it all looked fantastic. Tucker, you were over there all three times. What did you think about just the atmosphere and the intensity? You know, we were really banking on this series being the one that, oh, man, you have that kind of tense atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson that really makes it difficult for opposing teams to come in and compete through.
I thought it was a good environment. Now, like we've been saying, LSU really did not live up to its end of the bargain, right? They've struggled mightily in SEC play. They're 3-12. really the environment, I think, at Lindsey Nelson is just dependent on the quality of the opponent. And with those, I guess, five losses last year to LSU, because you had – or no, it would have only been four, because you had the two in the regular season, then two in Omaha. There was some animosity there, just a revenge factor, if you will. But I think this year you're just not seeing the quality of opponent at Lindsey Nelson that you have in years past. And that could change in the regionals. Hopefully it changes in the regionals, because then you can really make it nasty. But it's just going to depend on how good the other team is, if that makes sense.
It is good that Tennessee's ranked so highly, because you are in position to host mm-hmm. both a regional mm-hmm. and a super regional if you continue to take care of business the way you have been. One thing that was pointed out to me on Saturday, and I hadn't really thought about this, but I don't even know where the student section is in Lindsey Nelson. Is it still in the same spot as it was a couple of years ago on the third base side, or did they move them up onto that platform area way down towards right field?
It's never been on the third base side. It's right
I'm
by
sorry,
first base.
Yeah, first base side.
It's, you know, you have, what is that, like 200, 300 seats there, something in that range for students to sit in beside the dugout, and then everybody else is on that porch over there.
They need to get those kids, and I realize some of them graduated the Legends of Lindsey mm-hmm, Nelson, mm-hmm. what they called themselves. I always thought it was a bad name, but whatever. They did a good job. They were rowdy in there. And all it takes is 15 or 20 drunken frat boys to make it the college baseball atmosphere that's a lot of fun with a lot of trash. They don't have that. Whoever was those guys a couple of years ago, they have graduated and everything, and the student section does not have that element of tenacity.
Did they not pass the torch to somebody, as in, you're the leader now, bring it, bring the heat?
I don't know.
Or did we just get too good?
I don't know, but this is something that I would like to talk to Tony about the next time we have him on is, you know, maybe it's something he could do to, like, hey, guys, it's not enough. We like that you come here, but – we need you guys to set the tone in the stadium as far as getting in the first baseman / right fielder's head, mm-hmm. taunting, trash talk, keep it clean, but borderline edgy. You know, I mean, that's kind of what, if you ever got to go to a game during that time, that made it unique, because those guys were all, and we talk about LSU, Trey Morgan, his true freshman season, when they came here for that regular season series, Palminieri basically said he was taken out of the game by the student section because they were just in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is an element that is missing from the current configuration of Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
Need to get him back over there. What'd they call him? The Legends of Lindsey?
Yeah. Just get some – like I said, a dozen guys will do it. You have the right dozen guys that – will stand for the entire game, take their shirts off, and just yell bloody murder at the first baseman all game long. That's all it takes. It's not like it's got to be, oh, we need 1,000 people acting this way. Because it's contagious. Then you get a couple of middle-aged guys and sections over, and it spreads throughout the stadium. The porch guys get in on it. And then that's how you get the quote-unquote hornet's nest effect that Vitello talks about.
Call me crazy. All they really need to do is just, you know, send somebody up there to that frat house that was blasting.
That was so weird. That was so weird.
Were they having a little concert?
Little concert. Dude, they were playing. I thought it was – and then Russ had to – like, I thought it was just, like, a sound system. But no, it was a full band. They were doing – was it Freebird?
Freebird.
Yeah.
The 15-minute version.
I think Friday was a big Greek formal and date party night.
Huh.
Might have been maybe some of those guys weren't there for.
Were you in frat at UT?
No.
Tucker?
That's a hard no.
We're all independents in here?
Mm.
Russ?
No, I was not. I don't have anything against it, though. That Freebird, they did it justice, whoever the band was. I mean, it was 15 minutes, full-on trading
note
solos.
For note,
but it is
Gary
echoing
solos
throughout the stadium. You can hear it in. Like, loud in the stadium. It was weird. And I do wonder if maybe somebody got sent over and it's like, guys,
Got to turn this down.
Once Freebird was done.
We didn't really hear it after that.
Maybe top of the second inning. It was, yeah, they were donezo.
I mean, you can't go ask somebody to turn down in the middle of a performance of Freebird that was that damn good.
Walk up there, pull the plug out of the amp.
We going to talk about our little thing on Friday afternoon?
Oh, I mean, I guess we can. Has either of these two heard the story?
We've been informed that it happened. Yeah. We've not been given the full details.
I got most of the details. Bear called me.
Oh, that's right. It was you I talked to.
So we're doing the live show Friday at Volunteer Auto Group on Callahan Drive. And they are having a lot of success with UT football players, and they've filmed a lot of commercials. You can see these. We talked to Brew McCoy out there. Saw Brew again on Friday. He's doing great. Says he's running, cutting, doing all the stuff. He's going to be 100%. And they're bringing a lot of players in. Friday they were filming. Mark Packer was out there, and they were filming some TV commercials with some of the players and their moms for Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And so we're watching all these players go through and do their thing while we're doing the show, and I see this one big guy who's an obvious offensive lineman, and it looks really familiar.
Can't figure out who it is.
And I'm thinking who this is. And then in the last segment of this is the last hour, and finally the last segment of the show, it hits me. I think, is that Gerald Mincy?
But he didn't say that to me.
Well, I can't because we're on the air.
Hmm. Good point.
And so I pull up my phone real quick and Google him, pull it up, you know, image, and sure enough, that's him. And I'm thinking, what is he doing here? Gerald Mincy, the former offensive lineman, transferred here from Florida.
Current Kentucky Wildcat.
And left in the portal after the season to go to Kentucky. And there's been some back and forth. He said some things about wanting to play here. It's a whole thing, and most people know this. Maybe some don't, but whatever. So the show ends. I start packing up. Not really thinking too much about it. Bear gets up, walks over to Mincy, slaps him on the back, says, "Hey, big man, what's your name?"
And he says, "Gerald." So I say, "Gerald what?" And he goes, "Mincy." And I was like, "No blank." Really?
Bear steps back, takes two steps back with the like bear in the headlights look on his face and goes, "You're Mincy?" To which Gerald responds, "Yeah." And then as he's walking over towards me, says, "I bet y'all were talking bleep about me when I left."
Which, at that point, I'm looking at Russ like, if we're being honest, there's a good chance, because we do talk a lot of, you know.
Well, we were just kind of looking at each other.
Russ was quick on his feet, though.
Well, I don't remember what Bear said. I hit him with the, "We don't talk trash about current players."
I was saying we would never talk bad about you, Gerald. Never.
Sir. Sorry, sir.
Bears, yeah, I mean, it was the one time Bears' complete just comfortability with lying actually benefited
both of us.
The drive. And because, yeah, we were talking trash. We kicked Kentucky's ass and – he's not helping it.
Too.
Yeah, but he was nice about it though. But there was a tone, a certain vibe that was going on right there. And of course, Mark Packer's there filming these commercials.
Yeah,
and I could just see the headline: local radio hosts beaten to a bloody pulp by former Tennessee football offensive lineman.
And we'll never live it down. TJ would be calling, cause, you know, current Kentucky Wildcat. That'd be a bad look for our brand, I feel like, Russ.
Oh, he could have done it too.
Oh, easily. He could have knocked our heads together. Like,
it would have been bad. It would have been like the Hulk picking up Loki in the Avengers, just smashing.
He's a large human being.
Fits the bill. It's a requirement.
Yeah.
He looked right at us and said, "I bet y'all were talking bleep about me when I left." And he did not say bleep.
We were like, no.
No.
Us? No.
Of course, no.
Felt like they should have given you a bigger guys. Bag.
You got the wrong guys.
We thought you got a raw deal.
Always liked your hustle.
You should have played more, we said. That's what we said.
Got to look at Waffle House was there, and Waffle House's UT Letterman jacket.
He would have protected us.
I swear to God.
It's his job.
Yeah, You could probably house a, you know, like a family of five
in his jacket,
underneath his jacket, in an emergency. That is the biggest damn jacket I've ever seen in my life. It was like a 62.
I met Andre Turrentine before the show. He was in there. Very well spoken young man.
So he was really nice, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he took time to chat for a minute. So, yeah, I don't know. He did not stand out to me. We'll talk more about the orange and white game tomorrow and get into some of this football stuff. But it's just, it's hard to tell because we kept so many guys out. And I mean, let's be honest, the spring game, like it hasn't felt like it a big event in a long time.
Well, this is what you get when you have a complete communications blackout coming. I mean, it's like a black hole over there. How are we supposed to cover it, honestly? I had somebody ask me that this morning, like, you got any scoop from spring practice or anything? I'm like, no. I mean, it's ran like.
But I don't think anybody's complaining. I mean, writers and people who go over there and cover it every day might feel a little bit like, man, you guys aren't doing us any favor. But here at Fan Run Radio, where we will win or a win, I am willing to suffer through a narrative-less spring.
Yeah.
If it means the falls are going to be a lot of fun. And so far, that has been Heupel's MO. No drama off the field, no storylines, no juicy quotes. But
we are results-oriented.
When that ball kicks off,
yeah,
we're going to light up that scoreboard and give you something to talk about.
We were all texting with Davey over the weekend. The games themselves since Heupel has been here, orange and white games I'm talking about, not very fun.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine with football. It.
He rests a bunch of guys, doesn't want to get anybody hurt, wants them ready for the summer and for the fall, and I'm fine with that. If you want to go over and watch, have a good time, do it. But there's not much coming out as news in a Josh Heupel
that
spring.
Part of it is with the baseball team being good. And,
right.
You know, and we're just finishing up an Elite Eight run in basketball, and it's just spring football is not as exciting as either one of those two things.
Yeah, when that was all you had, you had to really dig. But now we're just, you know, we're good and everything.
People are going to start getting interested, though.
Oh, sure.
People are going to start.
Oh, it's getting ready to start in earnest.
It's happening. Thank you, Barrett. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Houston Kress.
Welcome.
I am merely Russell Smith. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. Overtime headed your way next.